As was announced, scripture reading this evening will be from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. This evening I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Again, that's Matthew 11, 1 through 6. When Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and as the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended me." Matthew 11, 1 through 6.
Good to be here again, and we appreciate everyone's presence, those who are visiting with us, and course, all of our members. Turn to Romans, the sixth chapter. We're going to be dealing with that here for a while. Most of you know on these Sunday nights, I've simply been taking an exegetical look at several passages, really not in any kind of order, simply taking passages from the Word of God and looking at them. And if my memory serves me, which is quite possibly it does not, but if it does, we dealt with Romans 6, the first half of the chapter, a few months ago. And we're going to take a look at the second half of Romans chapter 6. So let's turn our Bibles over there. Romans chapter 6. And Paul is continuing to deal with sin. We'll begin looking at verse 15 here in just a minute. But you remember Paul is emphasizing that we need to stay as far away from sin as we possibly can. And he begins the chapter dealing with an attitude that he knows would probably surface with some after he taught what he did in chapter 5. Chapter 5 ended with Paul emphasizing that grace is greater than sin. And that is, of course, a wonderful truth, but Paul knew that there would be some people who would conclude, if that is the case, if grace is greater than sin, then I ought to just keep on sinning. And the more I sin, the more God would be glorified, and the more grace will abound. And, of course, the end of that, he said, God forbid that you ever do that. As Christians, we need to understand that the grace that we have isn't a license to sin. And yet that is really the end result of some teaching, basically saying that we're saved just by faith, and therefore how we live at the end of the day really doesn't matter. And Paul never taught such a thing. He never taught that how we live doesn't matter. But we are under grace, and so Paul begins to pick that up here at verse 15. And you'll notice the similarities. You can see he's starting a new text because he begins it much the same way he does the beginning of the chapter, with a series of questions. He says at verse 15, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace?" And notice his same conclusion. He says in the ESV, "By no means." But it's still, God forbid. As I have said before, at those particular passages, there is no Greek word for "by no means" or "God forbid." It is very emphatic. There's no English words to translate the Greek word, I should say. But it's very emphatic. It's like Paul is shouting out, "God forbid." Don't ever take that position. No matter what, don't conclude that you, just because you're not under law or just because you're under grace, that you should continue in sin. But it's a wonderful truth when we stop and consider this idea that we're not under law. But you have to understand what Paul's saying. Like most of you understand that he's not saying that we're not under any law whatsoever. But he's talking about a particular kind of law. He is dealing specifically with the law of Moses, but it's a particular kind of law. It is a law that is void of the blood of Christ. And any law that doesn't have the blood of Christ is a law that demands perfection. You have to live perfectly because nothing can wash away our sins except the blood of Jesus. And so if there's no blood of Jesus, if there's no blood of Christ, the only way you can be saved under that kind of system is to live perfectly. And Paul is telling us we're not under that kind of law. We know we're under the law of Christ. It's kind of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when he was emphasizing again that he wasn't under law, but not that he wasn't under law altogether, but under the law of Christ. And the law of Christ does, of course, contain and involve the blood of Jesus. And so we're not in a situation where we have to live perfectly. We're not in a situation where we have to live sinlessly. Now, it's important that I point out that just because we don't have to doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. And that's very important. The Bible never gives us a license to sin at all or an excuse to live a lax life from a moral standpoint. Every day, our goal should be not to sin. We want to please God. That's what our life as Christians should be all about. That's what Jesus was all about. He pleased God in everything. We know we can't be just like Christ. We can't reach His perfection, but we can try. And that should be what we do every day. And so he emphasizes then, no, we're not under law, but we're under grace. But that doesn't mean that we should continue in sin. Because the fact of the matter is, we're all slaves or servants to something. And that's what Paul begins to emphasize here. You're either a slave to righteousness, and he puts that in different ways, a slave or a servant to obedient or a servant to God or a servant to righteousness, or you're a servant to sin, which would make you a servant to Satan. And the fact of the matter is we all here tonight have a decision to make. Who do you want your master to be? And we all have to make the decision. And remember, he's writing to Christians here. This has always been a decision that Christians, people who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, have to continue to make as they walk through this life. Who is going to be your master? You can't choose both. Jesus said on one occasion, remember, we can't serve two masters. And that's true. And he didn't say, well, it'd be hard to do that. No, he said, you can't. It's an impossibility. And it's true when it comes down to this. You can't serve sin and serve God at the same time. You have to make a decision. And it's a daily decision. The devil is constantly coming after us and wants us to become his servant. He's constantly trying to catch back up with us and make us his slave once again. And Paul sort of deals with that in this particular context. So he goes on to say, do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one to whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin and have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. What a wonderful thing for us to remember all the time. It does us well sometimes to remember we've been set free. And that's what the first part of this chapter was really all about. At verse 7, he says, for the one who has died has been set free from sin. We should stop and reflect upon our freedom and appreciate our freedom. We're free from sin. That means we're free from the consequences of sin. That means we're going to escape the wrath of God after a while, which ultimately will be demonstrated in a devil's hell. We don't have to worry about that because we've been set free. But this is only true as long as we stay away from that old master. All of us used to be servants of Satan. All of us used to be active sinners. But then we obeyed the gospel. And Paul is reminding of that. Thanks be to God, you were once slaves of sin, but have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And the standard of teaching that the King James says, that form of doctrine. And that form of doctrine is pointing back again to the first half of the chapter when he talked about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so the point has been made. Just like Jesus died, we died. Just like Jesus was buried, we were buried, but not in a tomb, in the waters of baptism. And just like Jesus was raised to walk in the newness of life, so have we, spiritually speaking. And at that time, we were set free. Not before that time, but after we were buried in the waters of baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life, we were set free. And Paul said, thank God for that. How often do you thank God for your salvation? Knowing that you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, it wasn't merited, it was by the grace of God, you had to obey from the heart that form of doctrine, that teaching. Then God washed away your sins by the blood of His Son, and you were set free from sin and all the consequences of sin. We should rejoice over that. Why would we ever want to go back to our former life and become a servant or a slave once again? But that's the decision that we have to make. So he continues, and having been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness, he says, I'm speaking in human terms. Lord, he's saying, I'm giving you a human illustration here. Like, it's just like, as I've pointed out many times with this passage, it's just like a person who is a physical slave and he steals away from his master in the middle of the night. He's free. But what's the master going to do? He's going to wake up in the morning and say, well, I lost one. That's just the way it goes. No, he's going to get the dogs out. And he's going after that one who is trying to escape or who has escaped. That one who has escaped is free, but he's only free as long as he can outrun the dogs. He has to outrun the master. He has to stay away from the master. As soon as that old master catches him, he's a servant of his once again. Paul said, I'm speaking in human terms. That's the way it is with sin. As a Christian, you've got away from sin. It was with the help of God. You didn't do it all by yourself. It's because you obeyed the gospel. It's because of God's scheme of redemption. But you're free. And now you have to stay free. That part is up to you. In fact, this whole thing, it breaks down. The analogy with regard to being a slave breaks down when we start thinking about why we are what we are, who we are. A physical slave doesn't volunteer to be a slave. That never happens. But we're in our situation, whoever you're a servant to, it's because you agree to it. If you're a servant of Christ, you have volunteered to be a servant of Christ. You're a soldier in the army. You signed up for that. And if you're a servant of the devil, it's not because he forced you to do it. The devil can't make you do anything. You signed up for that. You agreed to that. And so all of us as Christians, we have to make up in our minds, do I want to be a servant of God or a servant of Satan? Do I want to be a servant to sin or be a servant of righteousness? We have the decision to make, and it's all up to us. God has given us the power to choose, and we have to make the right choice. And this is what Paul is talking about here. I'm speaking in human terms. Because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to justification. Listen to the language there. You once presented your members. Who presented your members? You did. I presented myself to the devil, to Satan in sin. And so I was his servant voluntarily. But now again, we have been set free. And now we have presented our members to God and to be members or slaves to righteousness, which leads to justification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now someone might look at that and say, yes, I remember that well. And I remember the good times that I had. I remember when I was free to do what I wanted, to live the way I wanted to live and have a good time. Yeah, but what did all of that get for you? The devil is no dummy. Sin is pleasurable. Sin is alluring. It's attractive. And sin, at least for a time, can make you feel good, but it always runs out. The joy never lasts. It's always temporary. And even if it lasts throughout your duration of this life, the end of this life isn't it. There's a life to come. Life or death. And so it depends which one you want. You can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season and be a servant to sin, or you can be a servant to righteousness, which leads to justification. You can live a holy life and have eternal life. But all of us here tonight, as it doesn't matter if you're a babe in Christ or a seasoned saint, we all have the same decision to make. Who is going to be our master? And Paul is just reminding these saints of the choice that they have, and even reminding them of their past, the choice they made before and the result of that. He goes on to say at verse 21, but we'll just read in verse 20 again. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? And there might be a part of you who can say, yeah, I remember back when I was able to do what I wanted to, no restrictions, and I was free just to do. Yeah, but what's the fruit of that? What did it really do for you? What did you get out of that? Things that now you are simply ashamed of. The drunkard wakes up. He had a real good time the night before. But then he acts foolish, does foolish things. He wakes up, he learns of the foolish things that he did, and what does he feel? Shame. You ask the gambler who has blown his complete salary for the week or the weeks or whatever, and it brings nothing but shame. You ask the adulterer who is caught, the adulteress who is caught, what's the fruit? What's the end of that? Maybe there was a little bit of pleasure for a while, but at the end, there was shame. And that's just the result of sin. That's what happens when you make the wrong choice and you decide that you are going to voluntarily be a servant of sin. Might have some fun, but what do you really get out of it? We sang the song just a while ago, didn't we? What if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What does it profit? And the answer, of course, is nothing. But Paul goes on to say, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, a holy set apart life. And its end is what? eternal life. It seems to me that this isn't a hard choice. As we reflect upon our lives as Christians, what are we going to do when we have decisions to make, to sin or not to sin, to serve God or to serve Satan? What are we going to do? Here's your choices. You can either do what's going to lead to damnation, condemnation, or what leads to eternal life. And we all have to stop and reflect. And listen to me. You ought to reflect upon that right now and prepare yourself, because the devil's going to come and tempt you. He knows that he's going to get you in a situation where you have a decision to make. And if you wait till you're in the throes of some kind of temptation, you're in trouble. Make up in your mind right now what you're going to do. I tell young people, you determine right now when that person offers you a cigarette or a drink. You right now, you determine, I'm going to say no. A boyfriend or girlfriend wants you to commit fornication. Don't wait until it's too late and you're right in the midst of temptation. Make up in your mind right now, I'm going to serve God, and my members are going to be slaves to righteousness, not to sin. And the end result of that will be eternal life. Really not that hard of a decision. But we all have to make it regularly, constantly in our lives. It is, the devil keeps pressing upon us, so we have to make a decision. He goes on to say in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is Paul saying in this overall text here in Romans chapter 6? We have been richly blessed because we're not under law, but we're under grace. Thank God for that. God's people, most of the time, in all those Old Testament years, they were under a law that demanded perfection, that didn't make provision for sin. We're not under that law. We are under grace. We can make mistakes, and because we still have access to the ongoing cleansing blood of Christ, we can repent of our sins and ask God for forgiveness. John said he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We don't have to be perfect. But don't allow that to become, in your mind, a license to sin. Determine right now who you're going to serve. Who is your master going to be? And I hope together we all make the right decision. Because only when we decide, remember, you can't serve two masters. You have to decide. You make sure you use your body, you use your members as instruments of righteousness, not instruments of sin. You'll never regret it. Remember, we said just a moment ago, the text talked about being ashamed. There's a lot of cases where sinners end up ashamed of their behavior and things that they have done. You know what I have never heard? I've never heard a faithful child of God say, I have served God, I have served Him well, and I'm ashamed about it. I've never heard that, ever. You make the right decision, there'll be joy and there'll be peace. There won't be shame at all. In the end will be eternal life. So I hope that we all make the right decision. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Remember, if you're going to be set free from sin, you have to obey that form of doctrine. You're not going to heaven just because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's a part of it. But you have to obey that form of teaching. You have to be willing to repent and to be baptized, Acts 2 and at verse 38. And God will do the rest. You obey the gospel, you have an opportunity here tonight. If you're in an undone condition, if you're outside of the ark of safety, right now you are a slave to sin. I'm a good person. That doesn't matter. I don't do anything outwardly immoral. I don't drink and smoke, do drugs. It doesn't matter. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, there's sin in your life, and there's only one way to get rid of it. The blood of Christ has to wash it away, and you'll contact that blood when you're buried in the waters of baptism. Would you do that tonight? The water's ready. Everything's ready. You just have to respond. Come forward as we together stand and sing.